98.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Daria Aldinger. Not yet. The Federal Reserve is leaving a key interest rate unchanged for now. Chair Jerome Powell.
Inflation has eased from its highs without a significant increase in unemployment. That's very good news. But inflation is still too high. Ongoing progress in bringing it down is not assured. And the path forward is uncertain.
The central bank will not rule out, however, cutting rates later this year. The White House says a deadly drone attack in Jordan was carried out by the Islamic Resistance in Iraq, an Iran-backed militia. President Biden says the U.S. will respond, but so far there is no sign it's happened. Actor Alec Baldwin has pleaded not guilty to involuntary manslaughter and waived his right to appear in court at this stage following the fatal shooting of cinematographer Helena Hutchins on the set of the film Rust. Former President Trump met with Teamsters today, hoping to shore up support from union workers who historically vote Democrat. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Republican bills to ban race-based programs at the universities of Wisconsin are moving through the state legislature. GOP Senator Eric Wimberger wants to require universities to offer help to students based on need, not race.
Talking about how one person deserves one thing or another based on their race will never solve the problem.
The UW Board of Regents recently agreed to limits to diversity efforts in exchange for state funding. A Wisconsin judge rules state regulators can force factory farms to get permits before they discharge pollutants. Lobbyists for factory farms sued in Calumet County, challenging the Department of Natural Resources' legal authority. But the judge says state law calls for maintaining the integrity of the state's water. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
More news from the Center, WRCE. I'm Jimmy Cuska. Four of the five people hurt after a pickup truck hit a horse-drawn buggy near Hillsboro Monday night were released from the hospital. A five-month-old child remains hospitalized. The Vernon County Sheriff's Office said a pickup truck driven by a 63-year-old Hillsboro man hit the buggy, which was going in the opposite direction. The family of five in the buggy were all taken to hospitals. The driver of the truck, Bruce Donlin, was arrested and charged with operating while intoxicated, causing injury. Donlin was given a $5,000 cash bond and will be in court in March. Today is the first deadline for voter registration ahead of the February 20th primary in Wisconsin. If you want to register by mail or online, you have to have it postmarked or done by today, according to the state's Elections Commission. Otherwise, you can register up until February 16th at your local clerk's office. Wisconsin also offers same-day voter registration at the polls. You can visit the Wisconsin Elections Commission or contact your local clerk for more information. For WRC,
the Maggie Dawn Show.
Outgoing Milwaukee County District Attorney John Chisholm. The way I joke about it is I'm probably not doing my job right if somebody's not ticked off at me most of the time.
The only way you can do it is if you have that steadfast commitment to doing justice. That tension's built into it, and that's quite frankly what makes the job just so phenomenal and exciting and fun.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Weeknights at 6 p.m.
on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Marquette makes it five in a row. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Marquette Golden Eagles beat a once great Villanova team 85-80. Villanova has now lost five in a row, their longest losing streak in 13 years. The Golden Eagles now with a five-game winning streak. Thanks to Tyler Kolick with a career-high 32 points. They play Saturday at Georgetown. Wisconsin is headed to Lincoln, Nebraska tomorrow night. The Badgers head coach Greg Gard says after a few days of rest, they now focus on the Cornhuskers.
Turn the page now quick to head on a road to a place that no Big Ten team has won yet. Obviously playing extremely well at home in Nebraska. And numbers, when you do the stat splits, are unbelievable of how much better they are at home. So had a good couple days off, which I thought were important for our guys on Saturday and Sunday, and then came back yesterday and started getting ready for Thursday night.
NBA, the Bucks' new head coach Doc Rivers says despite losing in Denver, the team showed him they can play on defense.
You know, the cat's out of the bag. They all proved they can do it.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy this evening, cloudy overnight, some areas of fog with low visibilities and a dense fog advisory. Lows in the low 30s. A mix of sun and clouds in mid-40s tomorrow. Partly sunny for Friday, high in the low 40s. More warm for the weekend, well into the 40s with a mix of sun and clouds.
This message is for Shana, my mom, who just finished her high school diploma. I wanted to say I'm so proud of you for finishing school. You told me it's never too late to achieve your dreams. I hope to make you as proud as you have made me.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
I'm not your friend or anything, damn. You think that you're the man, I think therefore I am. I'm not your friend or anything, damn. You think that you're the man, I think therefore I am.
Stop. What the hell are you talking about?
Hello, Wisconsin. You are listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. As always, I am joined by Anya Esther and also a special guest in the booth today, Johnny Watermelon. Learning together about the radio biz and the engineering. Say hello to Anya and Johnny when you give us a call at 844-967-2789. Today is going to be a discussion of a Supreme Court case, the shadow docket, an injunction decision that came down 8 days ago, its implications for what is going on this very moment on Capitol Hill and all the good stuff in between, including Secretary Mayorkas' impeachment proceeding, which is, to put it mildly, a bunch of hoo-ha garbage. And even conservative legal commentators agree with me, so don't take my word for it. So we're going to get into all of that, but I have to share some breaking news with everybody. This just popped about 45 minutes ago and first reported by, I think it's called The Chancery, which is a news publication out of Delaware. The Delaware Chancery Court, which is Delaware's courts that handle proceedings dealing with Delaware incorporated businesses, just ruled today that Elon Musk's compensation package granted to him back in 2018 that made him the world's richest person must be undone. That the procedure was so flawed, the directors that approved it, the compensation committee that approved it, so compromised by conflicts of interest that it amounted to an illegal compensation package. The $56 billion compensation package advanced by shareholders and Tesla's board entitled Musk to stock options in the company as it hit specific performance targets. Shareholders sued Musk, alleging the process that led the package to be adopted was improper. The news was first reported by Chancery Daily. Just mentioned that. Musk issued a stern reaction on X, which he bought for $44 billion. When it was known as Twitter. Never incorporate your company in the state of Delaware. By the way, that's where everybody incorporates their big companies. It's sort of like the gold standard for states of incorporation. In her opinion, Chancellor Kathleen McCormick wrote, judgment is entered in the plaintiff's favor, and that the plaintiffs were entitled to rescission, which is the technical legal term for undoing a thing. So rescission, or again, to rescind the pay package. In her opinion, Judge McCormick wrote that she would go boldly where no man has gone before and answer the question, does Musk actually control Tesla? That's a bit of a one-liner for you. She also wrote that the compensation approval process was deeply flawed, in part because of Musk's close ties with the people representing the company, including the chair of the compensation committee and another member of the group, both of whom Musk had working relationships for over 15 years. The group that approved the comp package also included their general counsel. Their general counsel is like your top lawyer for a business. who once served as Musk's divorce attorney. I just want that to set in for a minute for everybody, because I am not a divorce attorney, and a divorce attorney, should I be, I would not be corporation counsel of Milwaukee County, because those two things have nothing to do with each other. If you're a divorce practitioner, you probably shouldn't be general counsel of a multi-billion dollar corporation. So wonder why and how that guy got the job. I mean, this is absolutely incredible. The defendants proved that Musk was uniquely motivated by ambitious goals that Tesla desperately needed Musk to succeed in its next stage of development. But these facts do not justify the largest compensation plan in the history of public markets. Bow. Wow. Musk, maybe, you know, in a couple of months, not the world's richest person anymore. I wonder if that'll, you know, maybe tamp down the arrogance with which he proclaims his word, that of the Lord's, in oh so many topic areas. I don't know about you all, but I think this is just stunning. Maybe it'll take him down a peg. I mean, who approves a comp package for $56 billion? I don't, literally, unless you're turning water into wine and spinning yarn into gold, what are you doing that's worth $56 billion? Excuse me. I stumble over the B and the M because the B word's so hard to say here. I just think it defies imagination. No human being should be paid $56 billion. Nope. 844-967-2789. Some programming notes. This Thursday, really pumped because I'm going to have my friend, Greg Leon, executive chef and owner-operator of Milwaukee's James Beard, thrice-nominated Amelinda restaurant. Really progressive, interesting cuisine. Super pumped to talk to Greg. He has an incredibly prestigious James Beard nomination this week, being nominated for Best Chef nationally. Not just Best Chef Midwest, but Best Chef nationally. So really excited to have Greg join us. And on Monday, I'm going to be joined by Bill Christensen, who is running for the city of Milwaukee's comptroller's race. So join us for all of that. And if you'd like to join the discussion, 844-967-2789. Don't you all worry. Johnny is helping Anya out. He's learning the ropes, but Anya's not leaving me. I wouldn't let that happen. She's my partner in crime. She checks me good, and I need it, and we all love hearing from Anya. Let's jump right into the meat and potatoes of today's show. Last week, I interviewed Joanna Fracek, a good friend of mine, an immigrant, a lawyer. We learned a little bit about her personal immigration journey, her path to naturalization as a citizen, what all that entails, how difficult it was. And I thought it only appropriate to talk a bit about this crazy shadow docket decision from the Supreme Court that dropped, on January 22nd, so 8 days ago. In this case is the Department of Homeland Security versus Texas. The decision was 5-4, okay? You know, what pray tell had the justices so split in their decision? The five in the majority ruled that the federal government can do its job, should do its job, and that the federal government's job to manage our foreign affairs, to protect our border, to control immigration, naturalization, and citizenship processes, those things are the exclusive purview of the federal government. That's what the decision meant. It's incredible to me that this was a split court, 5-4, because this is standard fair supremacy clause stuff. Like, literally, these are some of the things that you learn as a first-year law student. It's crazy. Now, the specific factual context for this case was that the state of Texas had put up a whole bunch of razor wire to keep federal agents from approaching migrants that were crossing the Rio Grande and crossing into Texas. There was also razor wire that ended up, I don't want to get into the details here because they're so shocking, but because of some of the other areas where razor wire was enacted and the other barriers that the state of Texas placed, not U.S. Border Patrol, but the Texas government put in place, a woman and her two children drowned in the Rio Grande, and they drowned because federal Border Patrol agents couldn't reach them. Now, had they reached them, they would have been subject to the immigration processes. More on that in a minute. But this is pretty simple stuff. Let me read, you know, the money part of the supremacy clause here. Federal law shall be the supreme law of the land, and the judges in every state shall be bound thereby. Then there's an 80-year-old case, Hines v. Davidovitz, that states that the supremacy over the national power in the general field of foreign affairs, including power over immigration, naturalization, and deportation, is made clear by the Constitution. Reading those two things together, then, only the federal government is allowed to effectively defend our borders, define immigration policy, and detain and arrest migrants and those crossing our border. That is not and has never been the purview of state governments. This is not controversial. This should have been a 9-0 decision, but it wasn't. Now, interesting, just side note here, you may be wondering, who are the two conservatives that joined with the three liberals on the court to actually, you know, read the Constitution correctly? And those were Chief Justice Roberts and Justice Barrett. That is probably not too surprising. Roberts has shown a penchant to at least try to modulate the court, to preserve precedent, to move in an intentional, deliberate, principled way. And Amy Coney Barrett has also shown an interest in trying to protect the legitimacy of the court. Of course, Alito, Thomas, Kavanaugh, and I'm forgetting the other one because I'm so ticked off about it. Those guys not so interested in that. Not so much. Alito, Thomas, Kavanaugh. Who's the... I'm forgetting the fourth uber conservative. I'm sure it will come to me. Got a couple important messages coming up. And here's what. So the Supreme Court rules against Texas, says, no, Texas, you can't be enforcing our borders. You can't be detaining people. You can't be preventing Border Patrol from accessing the border so that they can enforce federal immigration law. You can't do any of that. Well, guess what the Texas governor did immediately thereafter? Basically issued a statement and said, fluff them. I'm going to do what I want to do here, and cited non-existent constitutional principles to try to support that argument. I'm going to tell you all about it. You're not going to want to miss this because, you know, apparently January is a good month for a constitutional crisis. And would it surprise you if I told you Congress isn't going to help one lick with any of this? Of course not. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. You're going to want to get in on this one because it's a wild ride, everybody. 844-967-2789. Give us a call or a text. You can join the melee this Tuesday afternoon. Articles, 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 that you remain unremarkable. Interviews, 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 when they say your name, I just echo. Did you have fun? I really couldn't care less, and you couldn't give them my best, but just know. I'm not your friend or anything,
damn. You think that you're the man. You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
I'm not your friend or anything, damn. You think that you're the man. I think therefore I am. I'm not your friend or anything, damn. You think that you're the man. I think therefore I am.
Stop. What the hell are you
talking about? Hello, Wisconsin. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. As always, I am joined by Anya Esther and also a special guest in the booth today, Johnny Watermelon. Learning together about the radio biz and the engineering. Say hello to Anya and Johnny when you give us a call at 844-967-2789. Today is going to be a discussion of a Supreme Court case, the shadow docket, an injunction decision that came down 8 days ago, its implications for what is going on this very moment on Capitol Hill and all the good stuff in between, including Secretary Mayorkas' impeachment proceeding, which is, to put it mildly, a bunch of hoo-ha garbage. And even conservative legal commentators agree with me, so don't take my word for it. So we're going to get into all of that, but I have to share some breaking news with everybody. This just popped about 45 minutes ago. And first reported by, I think it's called The Chancery, which is a news publication out of Delaware. The Delaware Chancery Court, which is Delaware's courts that handle proceedings dealing with Delaware incorporated businesses, just ruled today that Elon Musk's compensation package granted to him back in 2018 that made him the world's richest person must be undone. That the procedure was so flawed, the directors that approved it, the compensation committee that approved it, so compromised by conflicts of interest that it amounted to an illegal compensation package. The $56 billion compensation package advanced by shareholders and Tesla's board entitled Musk to stock options in the company as it hit specific performance targets. Shareholders sued Musk, alleging the process that led the package to be adopted was improper. The news was first reported by Chancery Daily. Just mentioned that. Musk issued a stern reaction on X, which he bought for $44 billion. When it was known as Twitter, never incorporate your company in the state of Delaware. By the way, that's where everybody incorporates their big companies. It's sort of like the gold standard for states of incorporation. In her opinion, Chancellor Kathleen McCormick wrote, judgment is entered in the plaintiff's favor and that the plaintiffs were entitled to rescission, which is the technical legal term for undoing a thing. So rescission, or again, to rescind the pay package. In her opinion, Judge McCormick wrote that she would go boldly where no man has gone before and answer the question, does Musk actually control Tesla? That's a bit of a one-liner for you. She also wrote that the compensation approval process was deeply flawed, in part because of Musk's close ties with the people representing the company, including the chair of the compensation committee and another member of the group, both of whom Musk had working relationships for over 15 years. The group that approved the comp package also included their general counsel. Their general counsel is like your top lawyer for a business, who once served as Musk's divorce attorney. I just want that to set in for a minute for everybody, because I am not a divorce attorney, and a divorce attorney, should I be, I would not be corporation counsel of Milwaukee County, because those two things have nothing to do with each other. If you're a divorce practitioner, you probably shouldn't be general counsel of a multi-billion dollar corporation. So wonder why and how that guy got the job. I mean, this is absolutely incredible. The defendants proved that Musk was uniquely motivated by ambitious goals that Tesla desperately needed Musk to succeed in its next stage of development. But these facts do not justify the largest compensation plan in the history of public markets. Bow. Wow. Musk may be, you know, in a couple of months, not the world's richest person anymore. I wonder if that'll, you know, maybe tamp down the arrogance with which he proclaims his word, that of the Lord's, in oh so many topic areas. I don't know about you all, but I think this is just stunning. Maybe it'll take him down a peg. I mean, who approves a comp package for $56 billion? I don't, literally, unless you're turning water into wine and spinning yarn into gold, what are you doing that's worth $56 billion? Excuse me. I stumble over the B and the M because the B word's so hard to say here. I just think it defies imagination. No human being should be paid $56 billion. Nope. 844-967-2789. Some programming notes. This Thursday, really pumped because I'm going to have my friend, Greg Leon, executive chef and owner-operator of Milwaukee's James Beard, thrice-nominated Amelinda restaurant. Really progressive, interesting cuisine. Super pumped to talk to Greg. He has an incredibly prestigious James Beard nomination this week, being nominated for Best Chef nationally, not just Best Chef Midwest, but Best Chef nationally. So really excited to have Greg join us. And on Monday, I'm going to be joined by Bill Christensen, who is running for the city of Milwaukee's comptroller's race. So join us for all of that. And if you'd like to join the discussion, 844-967-2789. Don't you all worry. Johnny is helping Anya out. He's learning the ropes, but Anya's not leaving me. I wouldn't let that happen. She's my partner in crime. She checks me good, and I need it, and we all love hearing from Anya. Let's jump right into the meat and potatoes of today's show. Last week, I interviewed Joanna Fracek, a good friend of mine, an immigrant, a lawyer. We learned a little bit about her personal immigration journey, her path to naturalization as a citizen, what all that entails, how difficult it was. And I thought it only appropriate to talk a bit about this crazy shadow docket decision from the Supreme Court that dropped on January 22nd, so 8 days ago. In this case is the Department of Homeland Security versus Texas. The decision was 5-4, okay? You know, what pray tell had the justices so split in their decision? The five in the majority ruled that the federal government can do its job, should do its job, and that the federal government's job to manage our foreign affairs, to protect our border, to control immigration, naturalization, and citizenship processes, those things are the exclusive purview of the federal government. That's what the decision meant. It's incredible to me that this was a split court, 5-4, because this is standard fair supremacy clause stuff. Like, literally, these are some of the things that you learn as a first-year law student. It's crazy. Now, the specific factual context for this case was that the state of Texas had put up a whole bunch of razor wire to keep federal agents from approaching migrants that were crossing the Rio Grande and crossing into Texas. There was also razor wire that ended up, I don't want to get into the details here because they're so shocking, but because of some of the other areas where razor wire was enacted and the other barriers that the state of Texas placed, not U.S. Border Patrol, but the Texas government put in place, a woman and her two children drowned in the Rio Grande, and they drowned because federal Border Patrol agents couldn't reach them. Now, had they reached them, they would have been subject to the immigration processes. More on that in a minute. But this is pretty simple stuff. Let me read, you know, the money part of the supremacy clause here. Federal law shall be the supreme law of the land, and the judges in every state shall be bound thereby. Then there's an 80-year-old case, Hines v. Davidovitz, that states that the supremacy over the national power in the general field of foreign affairs, including power over immigration, naturalization, and deportation, is made clear by the Constitution. Reading those two things together, then, only the federal government is allowed to effectively defend our borders, define immigration policy, and detain and arrest migrants and those crossing our border. That is not and has never been the purview of state governments. This is not controversial. This should have been a 9-0 decision, but it wasn't. Now, interesting, just side note here, you may be wondering, who are the two conservatives that joined with the three liberals on the court to actually, you know, read the Constitution correctly? And those were Chief Justice Roberts and Justice Barrett. That is probably not too surprising. Roberts has shown a penchant to at least try to modulate the court, to preserve precedent, to move in an intentional, deliberate, principled way. And Amy Coney Barrett has also shown an interest in trying to protect the legitimacy of the court. Of course, Alito, Thomas, Kavanaugh, and I'm forgetting the other one because I'm so ticked off about it. Those guys not so interested in that. Not so much. Alito, Thomas, Kavanaugh. Who's the... I'm forgetting the fourth uber conservative. I'm sure it will come to me. Got a couple important messages coming up. And here's what. So the Supreme Court rules against Texas, says, no, Texas, you can't be enforcing our borders. You can't be detaining people. You can't be preventing Border Patrol from accessing the border so that they can enforce federal immigration law. You can't do any of that. Well, guess what the Texas governor did immediately thereafter? basically issued a statement and said, fluff them. I'm going to do what I want to do here, and cited non-existent constitutional principles to try to support that argument. I'm going to tell you all about it. You're not going to want to miss this because, you know, apparently January is a good month for a constitutional crisis. And would it surprise you if I told you Congress isn't going to help one lick with any of this? Of course not. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. You're going to want to get in on this one because it's a wild ride, everybody. 844-967-2789. Give us a call or a text. You can join the melee this Tuesday afternoon. Articles, 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 that you remain unremarkable. Interviews, 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 when they say your name, I just echo. Did you have fun? I really couldn't care less, and you couldn't give them my best, but just know. I'm not your friend or anything, damn. You think that you're the man. You're listening to News from the Center, WRC.
Some days I cover up because of my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis. Now I'm hitting the road with clearer skin thanks to Skyrizi, Risankizumab Riza, a prescription-only 150 milligram injection for adults who are candidates for systemic or phototherapy. With Skyrizi, 3 out of 4 people achieved 90% clearer skin at 4 months. And Skyrizi is just 4 doses a year after 2 starter doses.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions and an increased risk of infections or a lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check for infection and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms, such as fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you plan to or recently received a vaccine.
Thanks to Skyrizi, there's nothing on my skin, and that means everything. Doctor today about Skyrizi, the number one dermatologist prescribed biologic in psoriasis. And visit skyrizi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Everybody, I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join the conversation this afternoon. Can you believe what the heck is going on at the Supreme Court having to do with who has the right to enforce immigration laws and who has the right to lawfully patrol the border? Hint, hint, the Constitution says it's not the states. I can't believe that. And I can't believe the corollary disaster that's happening on Capitol Hill as we speak, which is President Biden is ready to sign a law negotiated on a bipartisan basis in the Senate that would give Republicans nearly everything that they want, including, and Biden said this on Friday, an immediate shutdown of the United States border. And I'll get into some of the details here. But Trump said, no, please don't do this because I want a campaign on the border. So the deal that Republicans, including House Republicans, would have signed, would have, passed, adopted, put through for signature to the president's desk last year, they won't do this year because that's bad for Trump's campaign. Meanwhile, people are drowning. And apparently 4 of the justices of the Supreme Court forgot about the Supremacy Clause. And here's the other thing. It took the Supreme Court 3 weeks to lift the temporary restraining order that prevented federal border patrol agents from reaching the U.S. border. I want you to think about that again. No matter what you think about immigration or how you think we should solve it, Texas had received a restraining order from federal courts that prevented United States Border Patrol agents from reaching our southern border. What? That is crazy town. Crazy town. It is dangerous because 4 of them thought, no. Let's just let Texas take over control of U.S. foreign policy, of our border patrol, of our immigration laws. That ain't the way it's supposed to work, folks. Not at all. And remember, this was one of those pseudo decisions that came down on the shadow docket. So no merits hearing, no arguments, no written briefs to the Supreme Court. The merits hearing is going to happen on February 7th. So mark your calendars, everybody. That's just around the corner. They're actually going to hear oral arguments. And here's the other thing. Not only was Texas acting, and here's a technical term for you, extrajudicially, meaning without any authority under the law, there is a decent amount of border crossers that are legitimate asylum seekers. And they have a right to have their asylum claims heard, not only just under U.S. law, but under international law. And again, we've heard arguments about fentanyl, all of these things, and we do have a crisis at the border. I'm going to talk about that today. But I just want to dispense with the fentanyl thing. Fentanyl is not being brought in by people illegally crossing the border. Fentanyl is brought in by legal U.S. citizens through your normal border crossing locations. Because if I'm a drug dealer, I'm not going to give my precious multi-million dollar stash of drugs to someone who might get stopped and arrested. I'm going to try to give it to the people that can get in legally. So just FYI, that's complete hooey. You may remember back when I did, I think about 2 or 3 days on the Supreme Court's shadow docket, I referenced work in a book by University of Texas law professor Steve Vladek. He also made some comments publicly after this crazy shadow docket decision where 4 Supreme Court justices no longer believe in the Supremacy Clause under the U.S. Constitution. Here's what Steve Vladek had to say. Whatever one thinks of current immigration policy, it ought not to be that controversial that states cannot prevent the federal government from enforcing federal law. Lest we set the stage for Democratic-led states to similarly attempt to frustrate the enforcement of federal policies by Republican presidents that they simply disagree with. That 4 justices would still have left the lower court restraining order in place will be taken rightly or wrongly as a sign that some of those long-standing principles of constitutional federalism might be at risk. So I want us all to just step back. The reason that the Supremacy Clause exists is not only that the federal government has to have a unified approach to foreign policy, not only that the federal government has to set consistent immigration policies nationwide, not only must the federal government only and exclusively be responsible for enforcing federal law. If it's simply up to every governor to decide what federal policies and laws and the manner of their enforcement that they prefer, what we have here, folks, is not a democratic republic anymore, but we have legal anarchy. And apparently 4 justices who swore an oath to the Constitution think legal anarchy at this moment in time is a good idea. Again, regardless, Democrat, Republican, independent, progressive, conservative, whatever you are, or uninterested entirely with politics in the Supreme Court, I will offer to you that this moment is existential for our democracy. When you combine this with the problems that I have outlined about the federal court's power, the Supreme Court's power grab, about how it uses the shadow docket to change our rights overnight, how there seem to be no ethical controls over the Supreme Court at all, coupled with what it's about to do to agency deference, the deference to experts that help set regulations in our democracy, all of these things are very, very frightening, harbingers of democratic doom. This is part of a broader effort by Governor Abbott in Texas, but the entire Republican Party to make the border the only issue that matters in this upcoming election. And what I will offer to you today is that the border is indeed important. But what is much more important is how we go about solving this problem. Let's agree that we have a crisis. Let's agree that it's a problem that must be solved. When we have a crisis, I say, and I offer to you respectfully, that we must attempt to solve that problem as quickly as possible. And that no party should be excused from trying to solve the problem when a workable bipartisan compromise has been put forward simply to appease a presidential candidate. We'll dig in deep when we come back. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Your comments, thoughts, opinions, always welcome. 844-967-2789.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join the conversation this afternoon. Can you believe what the heck is going on at the Supreme Court having to do with who has the right to enforce immigration laws and who has the right to lawfully patrol the border? Hint, hint, the Constitution says it's not the states. I can't believe that. And I can't believe the corollary disaster that's happening on Capitol Hill as we speak, which is President Biden is ready to sign a law negotiated on a bipartisan basis in the Senate that would give Republicans nearly everything that they want, including, and Biden said this on Friday, an immediate shutdown of the United States border. And I'll get into some of the details here. But Trump said, no, please don't do this because I want a campaign on the border. So the deal that Republicans, including House Republicans, would have signed, would have, passed, adopted, put through for signature to the president's desk last year, they won't do this year because that's bad for Trump's campaign. Meanwhile, people are drowning. And apparently four of the justices of the Supreme Court forgot about the Supremacy Clause. And here's the other thing. It took the Supreme Court 3 weeks to lift the temporary restraining order that prevented federal border patrol agents from reaching the U.S. border. I want you to think about that again. No matter what you think about immigration or how you think we should solve it, Texas had received a restraining order from federal courts that prevented United States Border Patrol agents from reaching our southern border. What? That is crazy town. Crazy town. It is dangerous because four of them thought, no. Let's just let Texas take over control of U.S. foreign policy, of our border patrol, of our immigration laws. That ain't the way it's supposed to work, folks. Not at all. And remember, this was one of those pseudo decisions that came down on the shadow docket. So no merits hearing, no arguments, no written briefs to the Supreme Court. The merits hearing is going to happen on February 7th. So mark your calendars, everybody. That's just around the corner. They're actually going to hear oral arguments. And here's the other thing. Not only was Texas acting, and here's a technical term for you, extrajudicially, meaning without any authority under the law, there is a decent amount of border crossers that are legitimate asylum seekers. And they have a right to have their asylum claims heard, not only just under U.S. law, but under international law. And again, we've heard arguments about fentanyl, all of these things, and we do have a crisis at the border. I'm going to talk about that today. But I just want to dispense with the fentanyl thing Fentanyl is not being brought in by people illegally crossing the border. Fentanyl is brought in by legal U.S. citizens through your normal border crossing locations. Because if I'm a drug dealer, I'm not going to give my precious multi-million dollar stash of drugs to someone who might get stopped and arrested. I'm going to try to give it to the people that can get in legally. So just FYI, that's complete hooey. You may remember back when I did, I think about 2 or 3 days on the Supreme Court's shadow docket, I referenced work in a book by University of Texas law professor Steve Vladek. He also made some comments publicly after this crazy shadow docket decision where 4 Supreme Court justices no longer believe in the Supremacy Clause under the U.S. Constitution. Here's what Steve Vladek had to say. Whatever one thinks of current immigration policy, it ought not to be that controversial that states cannot prevent the federal government from enforcing federal law. Lest we set the stage for Democratic-led states to similarly attempt to frustrate the enforcement of federal policies by Republican presidents that they simply disagree with. That 4 justices would still have left the lower court restraining order in place will be taken rightly or wrongly as a sign that some of those long-standing principles of constitutional federalism might be at risk. So I want us all to just step back. The reason that the Supremacy Clause exists is not only that the federal government has to have a unified approach to foreign policy, not only that the federal government has to set consistent immigration policies nationwide, not only must the federal government only and exclusively be responsible for enforcing federal law. If it's simply up to every governor to decide what federal policies and laws and the manner of their enforcement that they prefer, what we have here, folks, is not a democratic republic anymore, but we have legal anarchy. And apparently 4 justices who swore an oath to the Constitution think legal anarchy at this moment in time is a good idea. Again, regardless, Democrat, Republican, independent, progressive, conservative, whatever you are, or uninterested entirely with politics in the Supreme Court, I will offer to you that this moment is existential for our democracy. When you combine this with the problems that I have outlined about the federal court's power, the Supreme Court's power grab about how it uses the shadow docket to change our rights overnight, how there seem to be no ethical controls over the Supreme Court at all, coupled with what it's about to do to agency deference, the deference to experts that help set regulations in our democracy, all of these things are very, very frightening, harbingers of democratic doom. This is part of a broader effort by Governor Abbott in Texas, but the entire Republican Party, to make the border the only issue that matters in this upcoming election. And what I will offer to you today is that the border is indeed important, but what is much more important is how we go about solving this problem. Let's agree that we have a crisis. Let's agree that it's a problem that must be solved. When we have a crisis, I say, and I offer to you respectfully, that we must attempt to solve that problem as quickly as possible, and that no party should be excused from trying to solve the problem when a workable bipartisan compromise has been put forward simply to appease a presidential candidate. We'll dig in deep when we come back. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Your comments, thoughts, opinions, always welcome. 844-967-2789.
Hey, everybody, it's Todd Elbow. Thursday at noon, our old friend, columnist, and Renaissance man, John Roach, stops by. Don't miss it on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Doctors say measles is making a comeback in Wisconsin. Around two dozen cases were recorded in December. Wisconsin kindergartners have one of the lowest rates of vaccination against measles in the country. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention says that's due partly to more families getting exemptions from state vaccination requirements. Governor Evers says the legislative redistricting maps he vetoed yesterday were not the maps he proposed, despite Republican claims to the contrary.
What they put together is not my maps. If they were my maps, I certainly would have signed it.
Republican lawmakers tweaked Evers' proposal to protect GOP incumbents. Wisconsin's new maps will likely be drawn by the state Supreme Court this spring. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
More news from the Center, WRCE. I'm Jimmy Cuska. Four of the five people hurt after a pickup truck hit a horse-drawn buggy near Hillsboro Monday night were released from the hospital. A five-month-old child remains hospitalized. The Vernon County Sheriff's Office said a pickup truck driven by a 63-year-old Hillsboro man hit the buggy, which was going in the opposite direction. The family of five in the buggy were all taken to hospitals. The driver of the truck, Bruce Donlin, was arrested and charged with operating while intoxicated, causing injury. Donlin was given a $5,000 cash bond and will be in court in March. The Wisconsin DNR said it will be holding the 38th annual Bald Eagle Watching Day on February 10th in Prairie du Sac. The event was rescheduled due to winter storms earlier this month. People can come see the eagles from a freshly renovated overlook on the Wisconsin River a week from Saturday from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. Volunteers will be on hand to help with spotting the eagles. Sauk Prairie High School will also host an event during the day. For more information, visit the DNR's website. For WRCE, I'm Jimmy
Don't you Kuska. Wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. Jon Stewart fans will be thrilled that he returns to host The Daily Show one night a week for election coverage starting February 12th. Stewart will anchor on Monday nights. Those who don't like Jon Stewart don't watch The Daily Show anyway, so nothing to see here. Award season is in full swing, and topping this year's list with seven nominations is Sylvester Stallone's Expendables 4. Did I mention this is for the Golden Raspberry Awards, a.k.a. the Razzies, and not the Oscars? The film is up for Worst Film, Worst Supporting Actor, that would be Sly, Worst Supporting Actress, Megan Fox, and Worst Screenplay, which took five credited writers to achieve. On a more serious note, the movie The Beekeeper is a fantastic action film. The genre is hard to pull off without looking too cheesy. The film gets a little crazy at the end, but is a really fun watch. Two big thumbs up. Well, medium thumbs. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, every night between 8 and 10 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy this evening, cloudy overnight, some areas of fog with low visibilities and a dense fog advisory. Lows in the low 30s. A mix of sun and clouds in mid-40s tomorrow. Partly sunny for Friday, high in the low 40s. More warmth for the weekend, well into the 40s with a mix of sun and clouds.
Currently it's 37.
I love Jennifer Beals, and it is my pleasure to welcome to Nightlight a guy who kissed her, Peter Moore.
I wish I could say she was madly in love with me, but we starred in the high school musical.
You and I kissed during a play once, Pete, and I will say I didn't really feel a connection.
That was also in The Boyfriend, but that was a different version of The Boyfriend.
That was The Boyfriends.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 8 till 10 on News from the Center, WRCE, and on the Civic Media app. Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. This is News from the Center, WRCE, 1450 AM and 107.7
You're
FM.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Wisconsin, do we believe in the Constitution or what? I mean, come on now. I'm going to go to those phone lines. If you've got something to say, if you are on hold, if you've been screened, stay there. I will be going to the phones. I just got to get through a couple more things because the facts here are just incredible. I talk about performative politics all the time on my show. What's performative politics? All politics is theater. All politics is rhetoric. But performative politics is when a politician does something that they know is going to hurt their constituencies simply because it may serve their interests by acquiring more power to them or giving them an electoral advantage. And the entire GOP is engaging in performative politics, and they are placing Ukraine, the security of the United States, the nation of Israel, our conflict with China over Taiwan, all at issue because the compromise bill that the Senate is ready to pass and that this president would sign, President Biden would sign and said on Friday he would sign, would provide funding for all of those things, Ukraine, Israel, Taiwan, and it would provide Republicans the bulk of what they have been seeking with respect to the border for years. It presents a great amount of concessions from a Democratic president. But let me get back to the Supreme Court very briefly, because the law here is important. Greg Abbott, 2 days after the Supreme Court ruling, issued a statement that basically said, we're going to keep doing what we're doing. I'm going to ignore the Supreme Court. He says this, quote, I have already declared an invasion under Article 1, Section 10, Clause 3 of the U.S. Constitution to invoke Texas's separate constitutional authority to defend and protect itself. By the way, that's not a thing. That authority is the supreme law of the land and supersedes any federal statutes to the contrary. The Texas National Guard, the Texas Department of Public Safety, and other Texas personnel are acting on that authority. That's garbage. Garbage. It doesn't exist. There's all kinds of law professors weighing in on this. He told the state guard to, quote, hold the line at Eagle Pass. That's the particular area that we're talking about. Aaron Richland Melnick, a policy director at the American Immigration Council, noted that the judge, in reviewing some of these same arguments in a prior case Governor Abbott just invoked, said that that would mean that state governments had more authority to wage war than the U.S. president without any congressional oversight, something which is, you know, obviously not true. I put a question mark on the end of it because apparently some of this stuff isn't obvious, or if it is obvious, all these people are lying and acting in bad faith. Which do you think is more likely? Again, here's Professor Steve Vladek of the University of Texas, law professor. By this logic, states could use their own determination that, I quote, invasion exists as justification for usurping control of whichever federal policies they don't like. This is just a 21st century repackaging of nullification. And if you don't know nerdy legal stuff, nullification refers to South Carolina's attempt in the 1830s to declare federal tariffs null, void, and non-binding. That didn't go well. Andrew Jackson basically threatened to enforce the tariffs through armed force, and that ended that little debate. Yes, yeah, states don't get to nullify federal authority. States don't get to nullify federal law. I believe there were a few persons of color, children, students of color back in the day, and we sent National Guard troops to make sure that our schools were desegregated. Yes, states don't get to pick and choose. And here's what. Why is Greg Abbott fueling all this fire, generating a constitutional crisis? By the way, if you want a funny take on this, go to X and look for the series of posts that are, what are you wearing to the constitutional crisis for a little levity? Some funny outfits being posted there. So we have a bipartisan bill that the Senate has negotiated that now Mitch McConnell has said in private Senate conferences and with negotiations with House Republicans that Trump wants the deal killed because they don't want to give Biden a win. That's what's happening. We have a deal to do the very things that Republicans want done at the border. But now Mike Johnson, Speaker of the House, they're following Trump's orders. We're going to kill the bill because it'll give Biden a win. Here are some of the things that the bill will do. To be clear, current U.S. law does not grant President Biden the right to unilaterally close the border, especially to legal asylum seekers. I mentioned this earlier.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.